Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again, briefly, this first verse of our text for tonight, where Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, if you come to worship here often, you know that reading we had from 1 Peter is probably one of the shorter readings we ever have here on a Sunday or a Wednesday when we gather together. But there's a lot packed into those few short verses. And right at the beginning, it begins with this word, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Anytime you're reading along in the scripture, or anywhere for that matter, and you come across that connection word, you have to go back before in the verses to precede it to figure out what's actually going on, because in these verses, Peter is making a contrast. He's making this contrast between those people who are mentioned before that we didn't read about, those who have not yet heard the word of Christ, and all of you, those of you who have been baptized into Christ's name who have heard this word of Christ. He's saying there is a very sharp distinction between those who have not yet heard the word of Christ or who have rejected it and those of you who have. Now, to be quite fair, in all honesty, in our nation itself and in our history in the last 100 years or so, that distinction between, you know, who is a follower of Christ and who is not hasn't always been that distinct. And what I mean by that, it's not always been really easy to tell very quickly, you know, just by outward appearances or the actions of a person or the things they believe, you know, are you a follower of Jesus Christ or are you not? But as you are well aware, in the last 100 years and really in the last 70 years, I think of the, you know, my grandmothers who are still alive today, all of the changes they've seen in our culture here in America in their lifetime. It used to be maybe that it wasn't very easy to tell the difference between someone who is a follower of Christ and maybe someone who wasn't. But now we see culture has changed. It's for many Christians, and maybe you feel this way, it feels like the rug has been pulled out from underneath you and you're not sure where to even go. I mean, I'm sure when my grandma was growing up, when both of them were growing up, they couldn't imagine this country the way it is now. You think about this, 70, 80 years ago, there was prayer in public schools. The idea that abortion would become legal, let alone acceptable, was unthinkable. Not to mention where we are as a country now with the legalization of gay marriage. When you get right down to it, as a church, as a body of Christ, we've lost the culture wars. They're over. And for some of us, I know this leads to a lot of hand-wringing and wondering, where do we go from here? But these words from Peter tonight are words of hope for us. Because as we enter this culture that's new for many of us and appears foreign, a place where these things that seem so antithetical to who we are as followers of Christ are and on display every day, we are called to be very different. And Peter sees this as a good thing. It's an opportunity to show who God has made us to be. And in these verses, he says there are three distinct ways that God has made you and I different. He says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And these three things set you apart from those who have not yet heard this word and this good news in Jesus Christ. So think of each one in succession. You are a chosen race. Think of that word, chosen. Jesus once said to his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Now that word stands in stark contrast to the world we live in, where every choice imaginable is laid out in front of you. You can choose, and some of these are good things. You can choose where you want to live. You can choose what your occupation is going to be. You can choose what kind of car you want to drive. You can choose who you want to marry. We can choose how many kids we want to have. Unfortunately, in some states, we can choose when and how we want to end our lives with the help of a doctor. We can choose so many things, and of all of them, our world tells us today, you can choose whoever it is you want to be your God. And in the midst of all of these voices saying, the choice is yours, God speaks. And he says, you didn't choose me. He says, you couldn't choose me because of your sin, the sin that each of us are born into. The thought to choose me would never have even crossed your mind. This is why I sent my son into this world, to proclaim this good news, not that you have chosen me, but that I have chosen you. You are a chosen race. You are also a royal priesthood. It used to be in Israel's history, and you know this, you spend any amount of time reading the Old Testament, that if one of us living back then committed some sort of sin, if we wanted to be made right with God again, we'd have to take some animal and we'd have to take it to the temple to a priest, and the priests were only members of the tribe of Levi. We'd have to take it to a priest, and the priest would take that sacrifice up onto the altar, sacrifice it for us, and God's forgiveness would be ours. In the Old Testament, the priests were mediators of God's forgiveness, people through whom we had to go to reach, to have that forgiveness for ourselves. And I use the past tense because that's not the way it works now. And that's not to say that God in Jesus decided just to do away with all of those Old Testament sacrifices. It's not like he looked down and he realized, okay, people are really getting a lot more sophisticated now. The sacrifices, they're just bloody and messy, and I'm just going to do away with all this and create something new. That's not what happened. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, he fulfilled that law. In his death on the cross, he became for us the perfect and only sacrifice for our sins. And now there is no need of a go-between between you and God. Jesus promises when you pray, God will hear you and answer that prayer. When he was nailed to that cross, as he breathed his last, we're told the curtain of the temple tore in two. And this curtain, it separated the very back section, the front of the temple, from all of the rest. It was this place, the Holy of Holies, where Israel understood this was where God's presence resided in their midst. As God tore that curtain in two, biggest object lesson of all time, he was saying in no uncertain terms, it is finished. You are a royal priesthood. And you are also a holy nation. You can think of the church really as a nation within a nation. Now, for all of us, we most naturally identify our citizenship by the countries of our origin, the places we were born. Now, is there anyone here tonight who is not born in the U.S.? Okay, we've got one, two. All right, maybe a couple back there, thanks. For most of us, we would say we're United States citizens. But others, other Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, would answer that question differently. They say, well, I'm a citizen of Mexico, or I'm a citizen of Canada, or I'm a citizen of France, or North Korea, or South Korea, or Iran, or China. Your citizenship on paper may come down to the place, the country in which you were born, but your true citizenship is not there. Your true citizenship is in God's kingdom, a kingdom that Jesus himself said is not of this world. It's a really kind of an upside down kind of kingdom. When he described what the kingdom of God was like, he said, in this kingdom, the rich are poor and the poor are truly rich. In this kingdom, the weak are the strong ones and those who appear strong are weak. In my kingdom, Jesus says, the last are first and the first will be last. You are a holy nation. In the words of Peter, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And you're not just all of these things because God wants you to be different, that God just likes being different for different sake. You're different. You're called out of this world for a very specific purpose. And Peter tells us what that is, so that you can proclaim the greatness of Jesus to this world that lives in darkness. So for me, when I start to kind of wring my hands and wonder, you know, where is this society going? I remember these words from Peter, that myself and all of you were called to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We're called to be separate and distinct. And so as culture moves farther and farther away from what we think God would have it to be, as we become more and more apparent to those we meet, as we begin to stick out like sore thumbs, remember, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Because in so doing, as we live our lives in this dark world, people will see the light of His Son through us, through the power of His Holy Spirit, through baptism. Those people who have not yet heard the word of Christ, they will hear it through you, through me. And they will one day too, by God's grace, become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, just like you and I. In Jesus' name, amen.